I'll lead it off here.
Okay.
We have Heath and Adriana here to talk about real estate excise tax, give you some of the history, some of the rules, and then probably the result is to get some thoughts from the council regarding the spending of this money within some broad parameters.
So I'm going to be real concerned about that because I didn't get my PowerPoint ahead, and I guess they were in the office, but
okay.
Neither Eileen or I had it. So I'm concerned. I think we should not be giving a firm direction, but just some ideas. Because
some ideas, and we'll
this
we'll
is bring, hugely important. Yeah,
this is
issue.
Very important. What my thought was, did you get some opinions? And then staff would bring back to you some options for moving forward, and that would be resolved at a later time, and you would get that information ahead of time to consider.
Yeah, because I may not be able to formulate an intelligent input today, not knowing what we're looking at.
Very reasonable statement.
Okay.
Yes.
So whatever suggestions come about, there might still be more coming after today.
Sure.
Okay.
The work in progress is just the beginning.
Great.
So the main thing is getting you information about what's possible and how much money and all that.
Thank
you.
So
I'm going to turn over to Heath. Or
Adriana's going to start.
Okay. Thank you.
And I do want to be clear, they did get to the office. So whoever was supposed to send them did. Thank you for that.
Okay.
As Jim mentioned, this is a follow-up work session. Initially, on November 29th of last year, the Budget Office presented a work session to the Council where we discussed the REIT 1 and REIT 2 permissible uses, current uses, and we presented some information on historical and projected fund balances. So today's work session is a follow-up with a focus on REIT 2, where the available funding is. REIT 1 currently does not have available funding. It's all committed. And what I would like to do for the first part of the work session is basically go through a reminder of what the legal statute allows the counties to use REIT 2 for, what we're currently using it for in Clark County, as well as history and an updated forecast of revenues and updated projections of the available dollars. Because since the November 29th work session, there were two more budget actions in the readopt and in the spring supplemental where additional projects were funded. So we can provide an updated forecast of available funding. And then I'll turn it over to Keith at Public Works to discuss some transportation and parks priority projects that are eligible, and then open it up for discussion and feedback with further follow-up after the work session. So no decisions being made today, just informational, and any potential feedback that may come at this point is welcome, but there will be future opportunities. So REIT 2, in 1999, when the Growth Management Act was passed, cities and counties that were required or choosing to plan under this act were authorized to charge a second quarter of a percent real estate excise tax to pay for capital projects associated with growth. And that's the RCW right there, the reference 82.46.035, which allows both cities and counties planning under the Growth Management Act to levy this tax on real estate sales. These are the current REIT 2 uses that are applicable to counties, specifically to Clark County. The capital projects paid for with REIT 2 must be specified in the capital facilities plan element of the comprehensive plan. It can be applied to qualifying debt retirement as long as that debt is associated with capital projects on the capital facilities plan. And then the legislature also allows up to $1 million per year can be used for either one of the three purposes listed there. It's or. It's so together, all of those three must not exceed $1 million per year. And that's either maintenance of REIT 2 capital projects, and maintenance is a very strict definition of maintenance for this purpose, or for capital projects that qualify for REIT 1 only, or for acquisition, construction, improvement, or rehabilitation of housing for the homeless for a limited period of time. the county is only using that $1 million per year right now for purposes one and two, not for purpose number three.
Was purpose number three recently
approved? Yes, this is correct. And it's only for a limited period of time. That sunsets June 2019. And then also projects to which revenue was committed prior to March 1, 1992. We don't have such projects at Clark County, but it's another permissible use. So those are the permissible uses under the RCW. And here's the definition of capital projects for RETU purposes. Planning, acquisition, reconstruction or construction, repair, replacement, and rehabilitation or improvement of streets, roads, highways, sidewalks, street and road lighting systems, traffic signals, bridges, domestic water systems, storm and sanitary sewer systems, and parks. However, that excludes acquisition and replacement of parks.
So what would parks include then? That would be maintenance, or that would be like
planning for parks, acquisition
in the park,
improvements,
improvements,
trails.
Trails.
Does that include personnel?
Yes, whatever the cost entails for the project, yeah. So you mean as far as adding FTEs?
Right. Does it have
that
to be
would
specific?
Probably be maintenance, and we can only do up to $1 million worth of maintenance per year. It's either $1 million for maintenance, because personnel would be maintenance, I would assume, unless it's linked to construction.
But it's got to be linked to maintenance. We can do the grant person probably.
That could potentially be maintenance. However, we're already maximizing that $1 million per year, and I'll talk about it briefly how we're doing that, because it's either maintenance or REIT one only eligible capital projects. It's one or the other, and we're already maximizing that.
So I'm curious what our cost of park maintenance is right now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is? Do you have any idea?
The cost of parks maintenance?
Yes.
With the general fund, about $3 million. With Metropolitan Parks District Parks, about $10 million every biennium.
Okay. $10 a biennium, so that's five.
And so I just want to note that under maintenance, I think on the previous page, Adriana says maintenance does not include labor or materials costs for routine operations of capital projects.
So it's not for routine. It's for major, in order to extend the useful life of a capital project.
So it wouldn't pay for the ongoing.
To prevent the decline of, my goodness, that wording is pretty open. But
it's true that there could be some room for interpretation.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a history of REIT to revenues. REIT is very sensitive to the economic environment because it's driven by real estate market trends, so it's very volatile. In 2017, revenues were $5.8 million. We're currently projecting flat growth. We're still seeing growth, but we're being conservative, and we've actually checked with the Economic and Revenue Forecast Council on some assumptions. There's a decision package in the readopt that talks more length about the assumptions on the forecast. But it's $5.8 million, and you can see back in 2009, 2010, when the housing market declined.
I was going to ask one of our real estate experts' opinion, but I think maybe for later.
And you can see how REIT declined significantly. There was very little activity back then, so it's really a very volatile revenue. The current policies for capital project funding, when making decisions or when the county manager makes recommendations to the council regarding allocations for REIT, what we currently have in policy at the county is fiscal policy number 11, that capital spending plans should comply with priorities. And those priorities have been to, first of all, honor existing obligations for debt service. Second, preserving existing assets. And third is new assets, acquiring new assets based on the greatest need and the ability to maintain them. So looking at acquisition, but being able to also operate and maintain those new assets. So.
When you say debt service, is that limited to something that's not debt service for anything?
Correct. It's debt service only for projects that are eligible under the RCW for this purpose, and we only have one right now, and I'm getting to it in the next slide or two. So,
And under number three, when it talks about based on the greatest need, I think that's the reason we're here, because we
Correct.
Have to define what that means.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. So this is an overview of the current expense budget for 2017-18, as well as what's currently carried forward in baseline for expenditures for the next budget cycle, 19-20, for REIT 2. So the top there, it says debt. That's the only debt that the county currently has that REIT 2 is committed to and that is eligible for REIT 2 is Tri-Mountain debt payments. And that amounts to a little bit less than $1 million per biennium. And you can see that commitment carry forward from 1718 to 1920.
But what's the term on that?
The Tri-Mountain, I know that the total outstanding debt is somewhere between $3 and $4 million. I can get the exact numbers, and it's probably another 5 or 6 years. But I don't want to, I'll get the numbers on that. So the next information you see is the facilities maintenance. The $579,000, that's what we're using for REIT 2 eligible projects for maintenance that complies with the definition of maintenance. And then the rest of it for capital projects, the transfer to REIT 1 capital projects for $1,421,000, those two together amount to that maximum $2 million, $1 million per year, or $2 million for the biennium. They can be used for either maintenance per district definition of REIT 2 projects, or for REIT 1 eligible only projects. So the county has traditionally, historically maximized the amount of REIT 2 that can be used for REIT 1 purposes, that million per year, because REIT 1 can be used for where some of our greatest needs are, like judicial facilities, all the law and justice facilities on the capital facilities plan. So that has been traditionally maximized every year. The rest of the projects have been approved on a one-by-one basis by the council through budget actions, adding them to the current budget, and their projects, they're all one-time projects. That's why you're not seeing them carried forward into the next budget cycle. So there's $289,000 for capital repairs for general fund parks, $1 million for sidewalk program funding, $225,000 for the Camp Hope Park master plan, stormwater facility renovations, $223,000. Heritage Farm Irrigation System, $325,000. Building the parking lot at Grove Airfield for the off-leash, $60,000. Railroad bridges, grant match dollars and planning dollars, $1.4 million. And then a small amount for their Heritage Farm Cemetery project. Now, in red over there is the internal loan. You may remember the staff report that we had and the associated decision package, budget package. We have an internal loan that has not been executed yet because we have not needed it as of yet for cash flow. It's in place to back the general fund if the need is there. It has not been executed yet. Our next low cash point will be around October. And it really depends how revenues from billings that were delayed were going to come in to see if we're going to need that or not. But if that was executed, that would take away in 2018 $5.25 million from available cash in the fund, and that would be repaid over the next 5 years by the general fund.
Would you wouldn't take all that cash at once, though, would you? If you were to
sorry?
Would you take all that $5 million all at once, or would you just take what
you might
needed?
It might be part of it, depending on what the need is at that point. We've come back to the county manager at that point saying that we would need to execute on the loan and look at what the cash needs are at that point. And we'd first look to fall back on the permanent reserve before looking at doing the loan, because it would really save the general fund the interest not to do it. It would be ideal not to do the loan. So that pretty much shows where the expense budget is for 17-18.
How does railroad bridges fit into REIT 2?
So if we go back to the capital projects eligible for REIT 2 purposes, bridges are actually, as long as they're on the capital facilities plan, bridges are eligible for funding. And we've checked with legal.
Yes.
So, if I can just get a little in the weeds and not step on too many toes, okay? So, I was in the legislature when we did a lot of the REIT, and the people behind me and probably the two people here had a lot to do with that REIT conversation, real estate people, you know. So real estate excise tax was designed in the state because when a homeowner bought that house, they wanted to have that go to where his livability, you know, kind of had some nexus to it.
Make sure they didn't live on a gravel road.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, something like that, or a park, you know, that's why parks was the original thing. So I'm okay, but I think sometimes if we stretch it to say, oh yeah, this is legal, I think being legal sometimes doesn't fit sometimes with the intent. I don't want to carry it too far, but...
That goes to the discussion that we'll continue to have, is what our priorities are with regard to maybe what the original legislative intent was to read and what our priorities are.
That's exactly why the work session comes.
Right, and I see, you know, when I see these things that can be funded, and I know some of the problems out there, one of which is Prepstal, and we learned about it in, you know, when we were at a neighborhood meeting, the growth there and the infrastructure is not being met. Fourth Plain, though, is a state road, but the road that comes to Fourth Plain and the issue at 182nd and Fourth Plain and the expenditure that could be, that could help this area so much, and I see this funding available, it just... it seems to me that, you know, real estate excise tax was paid by a lot of those people and quite a bit of it. I mean, those homes out there are not inexpensive. They're expensive homes. Therefore, I think that they should recoup some of, they should have some livability, some positive livability happening for them just in getting to and from their homes. So.
Okay.
So my last slide before I turn it over to Heath to talk about projects is a forecast of available dollars in fund balance for RE2. The beginning fund balance as of January of 2017 was $5.5 million. Based on the revenue projections and based on the expenses that I showed on the previous slide, the ending fund balance would be $5.9 million if the internal loan is executed. If the internal loan is executed, there would be if not executed, there would be an additional $4.8 million available by the end of the biennium. And then by 2019-20, carrying forward the expenditures, we're only carrying forward that $1 million per year for REIT 1 only eligible projects and the debt associated with Tri-Mountain Golf Course, no other projects. The projected ending fund balance would be at least $16.8 million, possibly a couple of million dollars more if the internal loan is executed. By then, some of it would be repaid back, which is the red-colored dollar amount. So. Just to mention also, there is a pending fund balance policy. We're working on developing fund balance policies for reserves for major funds, and there is a pending proposed fund balance policy that will come to the council. And that recommendation is for having at least 12 months worth of debt payments in reserves because this is a very volatile revenue. And another $1 million for those REIT 1 eligible projects only as a backstop, and that would yield about $1.5 million because the only debt in this fund is the Tri-Mountain Golf Course right now, which is about $500,000 a year, and then there's $1 million per year for REIT 1 eligible projects. Those are the two ongoing commitments that are recommended. So that would yield about $1.5 million in minimum fund balance if the council would approve that. So that would leave by the end of 1920 approximately $50 million, say, at least, available for projects. And so I think that's where my, is my time to turn it over to Heath to talk about projects.
So I have a just quick question on the fund balance. You mentioned that the Tri-Mountain, the fund balance policy, you mentioned the Tri-Mountain debt service is going to retire at some point in the not too distant future, four to 6 years. So my question or maybe concern about this is once that happens, then we're only looking at like $1 million fund balance, and once that debt's retired, is $1 million really a decent baseline, or do we...
The debt policy doesn't talk about Tri-Mountain debt. It talks about 12 months worth of debt. So once the debt goes away, that amount would be zero. And so then the only thing that would remain would be the $1 million for, it would be $1 million, correct?
Yeah, I understand. So I guess my question is $1 million, and this is more, I think, a discussion for the council, is $1 million really a satisfactory minimum fund balance given the fluctuations of this account? So just something to talk about as we go forward with this.
Absolutely.
Okay, and based on the Adriana's presentation, really all the permissible uses come within public works. So transportation, parks, railroad, and stormwater, and just looking ahead, we didn't present actually any stormwater projects through our clean water program at this time, just given where they are with their capital program, and they're a little later out than the biennium. So we really focused on transportation, parks, and railroad. And I would say, you know, this is a good but unusual problem to have. I mean, usually we're trying to figure out how to spend minimal money, and now we have something. So what we've really listed here are options, and we've based them on our current priorities. Just for the starting point of the discussion, obviously there can be some adjustments there, but based on our comprehensive plan and then going from there on the transportation program, we have the adopted transportation improvement program priority list, the annual construction program, and of course we always consider who our current funding partners are and the grants and the expectations behind those, and then safety and economic development. Regarding parks and trails, we really, because...
The first bullet?
Yes.
The second is a subset of the first?
That is correct. The first one is the six-year transportation program, and the annual construction program is year one of that program. In parks and trails, given the funding sources there and usually the limited amount of funds, we really focus on matching state funds that we have. In particular here, we'll show Harmony Sports Complex. Then, as we've discussed a lot in the past, we have the Metropolitan Parks District parks that are remaining that were promised to the voters back in 2005. And then there's historically we've had some concerns about the public versus private share of parks. We've mainly been funding those through.
Sorry, another question. The second bullet there, the MPD parks promise, was there like a an adopted document or like a campaign brochure or?
Yes.
That had, like, here's the list.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. And the 35 parks were actually a part of that list and said, if you approve this levy, we will build these parks.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're down to three or four left?
Four. We also, regarding trails and other parks, looked at the Parks Recreation Open Space Plan that was approved a while back, and then also looking at opportunities to offset some of the general fund expenses where we could.
Okay, but may I ask a question? Back to the parks thing and the levy and the promised things. obviously, there was a levy, and you said, if you pass this levy, we will build these parks.
Yes.
That levy didn't have anything to do with REIT 2, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. No. Let's keep that in mind.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And then railroad, as we discussed a little.
So, Steve, when you went up. Four. It's so I realize we have parks over here with our maintenance. We also have conservation futures with now more maintenance there. Mm-hmm. I know they have to be kept separate, but essentially you guys do them essentially in the same shop. Do you work together?
Yes, they're under the same umbrella.
Okay, right. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Railroad, so the only bridges are eligible as we discussed. Really, we're looking at matching funds for grants that are often provided through the legislature. And some of the match can, with REIT, could offset general fund. And then there's a safety component there with regard to there's two projects that we have listed here.
Heath, when we talk about railroad, which part of the railroad are we talking about? Both Chalachi Prairie and the...
This is only the Chalachi Prairie Railroad, the county-owned railroad.
Which is Chalachi,
yeah.
33
yeah.
miles.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing associated with BNSF or anything like that, county railroad.
It has to be on the county capital facilities plan, and only the Chalachi Railroad is on the capital facilities plan for the county.
So this, a little bit of background on how we put this together. It's kind of a busy sheet, but we looked at what what REIT funds could be allocated over a four-year period, and part of that is the life of projects tends to be 4 or 5 years now. We also, on the right side of the document, showed other sources of funding. And so here in this list, and on the next sheet I have a little bit more background, but there are, so the first project is 10th Avenue, which is the, basically we call it kind of the gap portion of 10th Avenue, which is between two improved sections just south of the new bridge we're building now. It really needs to be built. This is the one that we applied for the Public Works Trust Fund loan on, and so we have yet to know whether we'll actually receive that money. And we're really in the situation where without either that funding or the REIT, it's very difficult to fund that project. The next one is 99th Street from 94th Avenue to SR 503, and that's basically is our number, and as far as how we rank projects, the number one priority. The next one is number three, and I would say number two is actually Highway 99 at Northeast 99th Street, which is already fully funded with grants. So the next two you're seeing here, I-5 and 15th, obviously have been a lot of discussion about that area and economic development and the county portion of that, the development portion of that. And so obviously REIT can be used to help in this situation. And I think there's numbers that we're showing here. I think there's still more discussion that needs to happen there with the developers to really define what the public share is. But those two projects are a potential option for REIT funding. Just in going in order of priority, you'll notice that 4 and 5 are missing, and there are two projects. One is a Ward Road project, and another one's 152nd, which are really new. They rose up in the ranking this last time, so we're working on scoping and funding components of those. And then we listed a couple sidewalk projects here, which are basically kind of in the top five sidewalks. We've obviously discussed these quite a bit in the past, 68th Street sidewalk, as well as Highway 99 sidewalk scoping and to move forward some of those projects. And then the last transportation project we're showing is Davis Bridge, which is in need of replacement. But the size of the bridge, it actually does not qualify for any federal grants, so it would have to be a county-funded replacement project. And one thing I wanted, because you brought up the Fifth Plain Creek area, so right now 182nd and SR 500, which is a ranked project, out of this list that we have, I believe ranks 22. Number 22 on that list. We are looking at, right now we're incorporating some additional safety data from the state,
yeah,
which may move that a little bit, and we'll certainly include that in a next discussion. But the one thing, a lot of these top projects as far as scoring goes and the criteria are within decimal points of each other.
And it doesn't score because of accident data?
It doesn't score because of the accidents and then plus economic development. It doesn't have any outside safe public and outside funding. And then also concurrency, multimodal. It doesn't score on any of those components. That's the reason why.
Yeah,
it's mostly safety.
The state's answer was there weren't enough accidents there.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I think... Yes.
Go back.
Yes.
On that, the middle column's annual distribution of REIT funds.
Yes.
Like 179, you get to 2022.
Big jump.
Big number.
So.
Is that just a hopeful or?
Well.
Borrowing or.
So the numbers, the way they're laid out, were kind of in the. How the project would actually proceed to construction ultimately. So the really in 2019, 20, 21, and these numbers, I would say these numbers are flexible because we've kind of generalized them and we can move them around some. But basically in the outer year would be where construction would begin. So there's the high dollar amount that starts to play in. And then looking at just our six-year transportation program, that's where the there starts to be a real need for additional funding outside of what we have for County Road Fund.
So the $10 million there, does that fit with our revenue projections and availability, or?
So that would be, I would say, all of this, what is here, we're showing more needs than there is funds available.
Okay.
So that's basically, there's options and some choices would have to be made, and those outer years we'd have to look at. If we were going to commit that funding, we would want to make work with the budget office to do, are we actually expecting to have that available given any other projects that we've moved forward.
So number four and five that you said that are not on there, one which is Ward Road, the second one which is 152nd and what?
152nd Patton Parkway to 99th Street.
Yeah.
So that's coming up in our ranking.
Why did you say they're not on there?
Basically because given these other needs, they haven't been scoped enough yet to know exactly what the costs are and what they're going to be, so we just didn't include them in this.
We're in the process of doing some traffic modeling to figure out what needs to be done there, and then we'll go ahead and start the scoping, maybe apply for a couple grants in a couple years. So these other projects are much further advanced. That's the reason why we put them on the list.
Good.
So those two recently got on the priority list.
As of last year, they actually were on the priority. Safety and economic development.
Just in terms of scope, are they hundreds of thousands or millions or tens of millions?
Well,
which way do they lean?
We'll find out.
They lean millions.
Millions.
We have very.
There's no road that can be built under
several.
Yeah,
we don't.
We're probably looking at.
I grew up on a gravel road.
Yeah.
We're probably looking at about $15 million for both of those projects.
You know, and
for both of them.
I gotta say, that is my question. I mean, this mulls in my head often. Mm-hmm. Why do roads cost so much?
Yeah.
I would like to get an idea of where all the costs of this come in. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah. We have performance measures and data that we track on all of our transportation projects, and we could provide that background. But I think, you know, there's some kind of initial scoping cost, but the design, there's a design element of it.
Mm-hmm.
To comply with all the regulations. If the project happens to be in a wet area, which most of the easy projects have been built, so we're looking at all the environmental, and the environmental aspects of our road projects will account for almost 40% of the whole entire project cost. So, you know, 119th Street, if you've driven out the new project we finished between 72nd and 87th, I mean, it's just as much an environmental project as it is a road project.
Yeah.
We have 34, 35 acres of wetland mitigation out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's complying, a lot of the costs are complying with the regulations. And then material costs have been going up as well.
So maybe you're going to get there, but it seems like, given the need, the council's challenge is in, within that need, what is the higher priority?
Yes.
I think that's exactly. I think there's a lot of needs and kind of which way should the priorities kind of shift and focus. So, it's a good challenge, but a challenge for sure. I think it went through most of these. These are just some notes. You know, one thing I did want to point out on 179th Street and 15th Avenue, there's been a lot of talk about reasonably funding that project. You know, there's the potential, to have, depending on how things work out with the development, that REIT could help provide some of that reasonably fund those funds. So I'll move past this, and Bill's going to talk a little bit about parks projects.
Okay. So we marked capital repairs and parks as the number one and two priorities. Can you hear me okay? So capital repairs and parks is the number one and two priorities for us, largely because we have to protect what we already own before we move on to, you know, improving other sites. And so with regard to general fund, which is priority one, we've been using REIT funds for decades now on a biennial basis, a one-time ask to perform capital repairs. As you've seen in the earlier slide, we for the 16-17, $289,000. And so moving forward, we've got a lot of projects that are actually scoped out. We actually scope them out 10 years out, and you're seeing a four-year snapshot. What's new here is the Metropolitan Parks District Parks Priority Projects, and to answer your question, Councilor Quirin, these are the parks that were not originally the 35 parks. Back in 2009, during the Great Recession, we had approximately 12 general fund parks that were in the urban unincorporated area that were transferred into the MPD system for maintenance. And so that took the burden off general fund back then, mm-hmm. and it put it squarely onto MPD. So the original levy accounted for the 35 parks for maintenance, capital repairs, all of that. So what we're looking at here are those 12 parks that are actually at the bottom here. So you recognize them, Salmon Creek Regional Park and the Greenway, Philida, H.B. Fuller, Orchards, Hazeldale, Harmony Sports Complex, Stockford Village, Cougar Creek, Jason Lake, Geyser, and Sherwood all used to be general fund parks. And so in 2016, we made an adjustment to the MPD levy by adding 1% to the levy plus using bank capacity. That afforded the actual maintenance of these 12 sites. However, it did not afford capital repairs. And so you can see what we've got identified for capital repairs in the next coming years here. And so some of these parks are very dated, like Santa Creek parking lot is shot. It needs to be replaced and repaired. And so that is what you're looking at there. So we need to basically take a hard look at capital repairs on all these sites and keeping them up to par, because they are very, very heavily used, and we need to make sure that they remain safe and usable.
And moving these parks into the MPD fund obviously put pressure on the MPD fund
for several years, from 2009 to 16.
Parks didn't get built, but that was all managed by the general fund prior to 2009.
Yes, it was.
Ready for the next slide?
Yep, move on to the next. So for urban parks, and these are MPD parks, if you will, except for number one, which is Harmony Sports Complex. It's in the MPD system, but used to be a general fund site. The reason it's number one is because we currently have a legislative fund award, $1.1 million towards the improvements of the parking lot out at Harmony. That was required a 75% match, which the Harmony Sports Complex, Harmony Sports Association folks have already matched about 25% of that. We're looking at another $2.5 million in matching funds, and we believe we've got to expend those funds by the year 2020. So that's why you're seeing this as a number one priority. We want to make sure we take full advantage of that grant.
What's the scope of that project?
It is parking lot improvements. So basically site plan, permitting, and all the way through construction.
So does it include the realignment to put on? Okay.
That'll be a separate phase. That's not going to be in this first phase, but okay. That will be, I think, in the third phase. So this, I believe, takes care of phases one and two. So that is the primary access coming in, and they call it the backbone, all the way through asphalt with two parking lots being constructed.
But this doesn't get us to the interchange improvements? Or it gets us, this doesn't get the interchange improvements completed?
Not in this phase, no. That'll be coming in the next phase.
But I think you mentioned there are two extra parking lots being built with this?
Yes. We've got the parking lots on the northern side of 15th, where the access is at now, that whole parking area. Then it wraps around all the way past 13th Street, where that new intersection is going to be. So with the pressure that they're getting right now with the new soccer fields, they've got about 300 cars coming and going every day on gravel, and it looks like the surface of them moving out there most days. Number 2, 3, 4, and 5 are remaining MPD parks. Curtin Creek Community Park just went and presented a grant on Monday for that, that'll be our second to our last community parks to be constructed, and so we're working through site planning permitting on that one right now. Cozy Camp, that's our second to last neighborhood park up in Mount Vista area, and that one's got a lot of pressure. People have been waiting for these parks to be constructed. They were supposed to have been done by 2014, and we're still trying to complete them, and all due to the Great Recession, of course, but we're still having a promise to keep, so we're trying to push forward on that. Salmon Creek Community Club, that is the last neighborhood park, also up in the Mount Vista area, west of 29th Avenue. And then our last one will be Pleasant Valley Community Park, which is somewhat developed already. It's partially developed. We have a bridge crossing over Salmon Creek that connects us over to WSU. This is to complete those improvements to turn it into a true community park. Cougar Creek Woods, that is a 10-acre park property. It's going to be a trail connection that actually, it's going to be a community park with a trail connection that connects us from Hudson's Bay High School on 99th Street all the way to 117th, where the Cougar Creek Trail actually goes into Salmon Creek Greenway. So that's had a lot of pressure for the last several years to be constructed. We want to make sure we get that done. Our next level of priorities is on the next page, is our regional parks and trails. And so The one thing to keep in mind here is these are regional parks. These are general fund parks for the most part. And so we have to be very mindful of whatever we construct, we have to maintain. And so so we took a look at this and tried to figure out how our priorities are going to fit into this. So with regard to priorities, Camp Hope Phase 1, site improvements, possible private donation match. We've actually started site plan and permitting on that project already. And so with the help of Camp Hope folks who have actually been actively fundraising, we're going to try to at least get the first phase done, which I believe is a shelter with a kitchen built into it to accommodate about 130 people. And so that's a good priority to get started on. 78th Street Heritage Farm, phase development, trail and parking lot. So we are working on a master plan update right now, and the first phase would be to build the parking lot on 68th next to Hazelnut Park, and then actually create a trail system around Heritage Farm. So that's where this funding is being requested for. And so we're hoping that we can go right from master plan update right into potential, you know, first phase construction, because it's been long awaited for.
So would this money just be for the planning?
No. That's some of that money's already been requested and budgeted. This is actually for, you're right. It will be for planning and for construction both.
But then these are general fund maintenance facilities. This maintenance on these facilities are general fund?
Comes out of general services right now. So it is general fund, yes. General services is paying for Heritage Farm.
Yeah, and all the projects on this list are general funds.
Yes, they're all general funds. Yes, they are.
So, yes, so moving.
Is there a portion of REIT 1 now that's eligible for maintenance that just got bumped up? Can we use up to 25% of REIT 1 for maintenance now?
Not that I'm aware of for REIT 1 for maintenance.
We can probably use it for capital repairs, is that right?
Only for capital repairs.
Yeah. Councilor Olson, I was thinking of Conservation Futures. So
yeah, change. Conservation Futures is the 25%.
So I've kind of been thinking of this, especially, you know, places like Heritage Farm when we did the fence around the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I would like us to have a policy to say if we build something, we need to have proof that there's funds to upkeep that.
Mm-hmm.
We do all these trails and fences and everything. Mm-hmm. And then they grow up to be weeds, and we spend countless about money about doing the weeds. So before I think we get into some of these projects, we know that we can maintain them, because what happens is we can't maintain them. It takes general fund money out of it to maintain something. Then we're caught in the middle of saying, well, we built it, so we got to maintain it. So I think we should start looking at that before.
Yeah.
I think that's what we should think before we acquire parks too.
Right.
That's
we've somebody comes to us, we've got 9 acres. We need a park in this area, so buy it. Well, and we'll lose it if we don't use it. And you know, sometimes we just need to give it up if we can't down the road maintain it, especially general fund dollars to maintain.
There's definitely, I mean, anything is particularly here on the general fund side, there's an asset management component to it, as far as if you build something, there's a commitment years down the road for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's always been a concern for many years now. I mean, we're pretty much at the tail end.
Seems like a key principle to carry forward from this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a formal policy that the county has, which does say that operating costs should be taken into account when committing.
Might bring that policy forward when we get these proposals to buy a park and build it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Remind us of what some former council did.
It's always an important matter of discussion with the county manager when formulating his recommendations, the operating costs.
I just, time-wise, we're at 11:45.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure there's time for discussion.
Yeah.
I know there have been some really good questions, so that's not all the presenters.
Okay.
I'll speed through the rest of these then. So just the one thing, I don't know if I need to go through these individually. Down towards the end are our Conservation Futures projects that we call them legacy projects. But with regard to the projects that you see here with trails, trails are much cheaper to maintain than parks are, obviously. Right. So that's just the one thing I want to make sure that's a takeaway for you. Once we build them, they're not that expensive to maintain.
And you have volunteer programs, too, to help maintain trails. And, I mean, I was trying to remember a couple of years ago when we had this conversation about volunteer programs.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I think you had 18 or 20,000 volunteer hours that had been logged in.
Yeah, and it's grown every year. It's amazing. And they are a lifesaver. I mean, it's the equivalent of about 7 FTEs to have all these volunteers out there doing that work for us.
And through the development of the parks, recreation, open space plan, trails are one of the number one requested items.
Yeah.
There's a huge
push. I
think
it's great we have volunteers to do that because a lot of them are going to use them too. So.
Do you have any questions on any of the rest of these projects on this page? Or before we move on?
Okay. And just quickly, the railroad, there's really only two projects we've had. And actually, we've already been to the council requesting REAP money for both of these projects that was approved in the 2018 supplemental. What we are showing here is the potential need for an additional $50,000 for Bridge 20. How these kind of projects kind of come forward, they end up getting scoped kind of as we move forward. So we're just showing an additional request there. But otherwise, those projects have been funded. So here's just an overall summary. And we just kind of wanted to tie it back into what the REIT II projected fund balance is. So if we're just looking at the next biennium, we've got a kind of a cumulative total of options, and obviously there may be more or less in there of over 31 million, and we know the balance available to support these projects is 16.8. So we're roughly showing twice of there's a lot of needs out there. And so that's basic.
Where those numbers flew by me, I didn't.
So this is the cumulative total of the request for the next biennium. So all these projects that we've shown you add up to these amounts. And then the actual, what Adriana presented was the fund balance at the end of 2020 is projected to be 16.8. And so that's really what we have for presentations. Kind of obviously very broad kind of brush, lots of options, and a lot of potentials for priorities. We're obviously showing them kind of in current priority the way we typically rank projects. So obviously there's room for input there and direction on which way the council might want to go would be helpful. If there's more information, we kind of envision this would be at least an additional work session or two, depending on what the council would like.
So I have a few questions. What's the current fund balance?
So we started at 5. If I go back, so we started the biennium with 5.5 million. And it's a two-year budget cycle. I'd have to look at which projects already occurred and which didn't.
Okay,
but,
so there's my second question was this. So it's 5.9, but that's assuming that the 4.18 million. So the actual, there's more in the account, but we just can't spend it because there's a potential for it to be borrowed against.
Right.
Okay. And then what's the interest charges on the Tri-Mountain loan currently?
I don't have that handy. I can go back and look. I'll email you that information.
Can you tell us
because these projects take time to execute. If we're close to paying that off, it would be interesting to look at what would happen if there's not a prepayment penalty, if we just went ahead and paid that off, knowing that if we start these projects, we need to commit the money now, but it won't actually be spent until we're further down. So could we have some interest savings by go ahead just prepaying that and getting that off the books, and then we'll still be recharging that fund and eliminating future expenses in the years when some of those other projects might actually be spent, if that makes sense.
Yes, I will get that information from the treasurer's office.
I think it would be a good idea to get regarding Tri-Mountain, and I'll admit I'm a proponent for Tri-Mountain, but to look at capital improvements that are necessary out there, how that whole funding mechanism took place, what what were the amounts, what was the interest rate, what's the term, to look at that in a little broader spectrum, if we could. Some kind of, very brief financial package for that. Thank you.
And I guess my request is, in a way, it dovetails the Fifth Plain Creek. It's and 182nd. I realize it's an ugly conversation we're right in the middle of, and we're trying to fix mistakes that was done by the last board. But when I put 179th getting I would hope we would at least look at something, you know. So, like what you said, there's, you know, a fair amount of money there. There's a lot of pressure because it's not ordinary, you know, that we're in this situation.
But I still think
we're getting in more and more of these situations.
But we still have to go with how it's ranked. And it's ranked 22 right now based on
what? Talking about 179?
No, we're talking about Fourth Plains.
It's ranked number.
I mean, we still have to, we have to be careful about jumping around the ranking system on prioritization and safety. And
right. And I also realize that we let contractors get off the stick.
Yes.
But we shouldn't have done that.
There were some things that happened.
I know.
Would have created some money to fix this stuff, regardless of the rank.
Yeah.
Keith, I just have a general question about what are commonly called latecomer fees. Mm-hmm. Do we have a practice of engaging those?
We do not.
So what I'm thinking of are, as we do road expansions in areas that are growing, mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to develop in the area doesn't want to have to build a road in an environmentally sensitive area because it costs so much if you can even get approval. So everybody would rather you pay for that. but I'm wondering if developments are approved and we know they're going to be coming in, I don't know why it wouldn't be feasible and fair for after we paid for a road for them to be obligated to pay for a certain share of that. So I don't know exactly how we can do that. The city of Vancouver used that repeatedly where one body would foot the cost of major road improvements, and then the people that were going to benefit directly and immediately from that shared in the cost. So,
yeah, there are a couple options out there. I mean, there's other funding mechanisms that we've been looking in that. So there's that. I recall working at the city, and we did it for water and sewer all the time.
Yeah,
we have just the transportation benefit districts where you actually define a certain area. And then that area pays into a project or projects. And I don't know any other. Those are the primary ones that are tools and kind of in the toolbox that we're exploring as potential options in some of these areas.
Good.
Yeah. I think a latecomer would depend upon the timing of when we're going to build the project versus, I think there's a sunset date on those agreements.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think 15 years is what's usually been used on those.
Yeah. But that may be a mechanism that could be effective for us in the future because there's mutual benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't just and one, you know, and I know there's a lot to think about here, but I know there was this one slide, you know, I think a few years ago, you know, kind of this was laid out as far as, you know, so like the Tri-Mountain, you know, that idea is dealing with number one. I know the parks capital repairs kind of fit into number two, and then everything else seems to fit in number three, you know, depending on what the priorities are.
So it seems like number three is the...
the challenging one, possibly.
The first two are very straightforward.
Yeah.
And the maintenance issue. Now, in terms of maintenance, on road projects, the road fund...
Yes, and that's something it's the same rule applies. I mean, we need to start looking at that a lot of our roads end up being expansions, so we're already maintaining them, so the additional cost of maintaining the addition isn't that much. But for example, you know, you build 10th Avenue as a new road, and so there's a maintenance component to that, pretty significant stormwater maintenance component to it. So we need to be accounting for those as well and the road fund costs as we move forward. And we do have a factor that we factor in as we look forward. We usually look forward 6 years, and we're always increasing that amount. So as we build more, the cost to manage the asset goes up.
So I'll go ahead. Elephant in the room on that topic. It's the money to fund that is property taxes, right?
Yes. Yep. And some motor vehicle
fund.
The road fund.
Yeah, the road fund.
And when was the last time there was an increase other than new construction in the road fund?
I think we do 1% last year.
Not for road fund.
Not for road.
It's been at least 7 years.
Yeah, it's
or
been
something
a while.
Like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
since recession.
There's a lot of pressure.
The math is,
I know. Plus, diversion has gone up.
Right. We are seeing, you look at our forecast, the available road fund dollars for capital improvement projects is trending down. And the dollars we're spending on preservation and maintenance is going up. So our ability to build new projects is lessening all the time. And that's where we rely more and more on grants, partnerships, and traffic impact fees.
And just a little bit of the soapbox here is this system we have is very valuable.
Yes.
And well-preserved. And once it starts
right.
failing, mm-hmm. the cost of rebuilding is yeah. like almost
yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
impossible. Yes.
So it's this precious resource that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, our
right.
parks are the same. Yeah.
And counties, I think, throughout the state, as you know, through CRAB, that haven't had high standards like we have, they're going to gravel because once you hit that level, mm-hmm. you're done.
So Heath, you're saying if there was a percentage of the road fund that would go toward projects versus maintenance, that's shifting in terms of...
It's shifting. I mean, we actually tend to follow this in how we manage the road fund. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, you have your debts you have to pay, and then we got to preserve what we have. And so all those costs, maintenance, preservation, kind of come off the top, and then whatever's left over is what we dedicate towards the six-year transportation program.
And so are there projects that we're not building, literally not building, because that formula is changing?
I think the...
We're delaying them, and also yeah. we're phasing a lot of projects. So instead of building, you know, the whole entire corridor of 119th Street, for example, we're chopping it up
right.
and building phases, and this, which in return is delaying the construction of the project.
And ultimately, probably costing more to build it.
10th Avenue, same thing. It got too expensive. We had to chop it up into two phases. You know, 179th, probably four phases, perhaps.
Yeah.
We're not sure yet. But, you know, you don't know because
right.
it's too much for us to spend and build at one time.
We've also been investing more in, you know, our signal system. I think, you know, the signal system we have is pretty top-notch, and you're trying to get as much capacity out of the existing system as possible without having to build new infrastructure. So we're maximizing that area, too, to move people.
Okay.
And most of the signal projects were paid for with federal funds,
mm-hmm.
CMAQ money. We're in air quality, so that money is dwindling away, too. We
mm-hmm.
lost money this year due to that.
So if we move forward then, I guess I'm looking at slide 19, I think. It seems like this is sort of the general categories of what the options might be for future discussion with regard to transportation, parks, trails, and then how we might look at prioritizing
right.
particular projects.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
Maybe that's a place to start for the next.
And,
yeah.
and that,
generally.
That's 1, 2, 3, with the third being the key.
Mm-hmm.
What was the wording again? I know the second part was maintenance.
Yeah, preservation.
Preservation
and
maintenance.
Yeah. Preserving the assets we already have, basically.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of...
Well, that number three would have...
Improvements.
It was, new assets.
Well,
new assets.
Yeah.
New assets. New capital projects.
And need safety. Don't
and safety. And safety. Safety's in there as well.
Safety.
That's
safety.
Yes.
Thank you.
Acquire new assets based on the
need.
Based on...
an ability to maintain.
Yes.
So a need and the ability to maintain.
That's correct.
So then you get into what's the definition of need.
Right. Yeah.
And you do have a point system.
Yeah. We do. I mean, what you've seen here is basically what's the priorities as they sit, and obviously just those priorities alone, there's more need there than there is funding. But if there's certain things that you'd like to see, we can certainly have a lot of data to provide.
So maybe this, you know, kind of a conclusion here to ask the council is, well, you know, what I saw is there's twice the need as available resources.
Yes.
Right.
How, what direction to heed? You know, we have these three points, you know, need and ability to maintain. Other than that, what are thoughts that you have to prioritize?
I think I'm interested in the priority system. Once it's established, what happens to that if the council wants you to put something else in there? So what, I mean, clearly it's a domino effect, but then what's our policy about accelerating projects ahead of other projects? What's the impact of that? And so I think as a council, we need to understand that. What are the implications? Sometimes there's an emergency. That's a different story. But on a routine basis, if we agree to a priority list, what is the impact if this council or another council comes back and says, throw that out. Here's the new list. So implications. And factors, thank you.
And I guess my thought would be, you know, I think one of our biggest issues in this county is infrastructure prepared, ready for development, whether it's residential or commercial or jobs, which is, I think, for this council, a high priority. So I guess, you know, when we think about transportation and road projects and sidewalk projects, those types of things, where does that generally rank in terms of a policy versus trails and parks? And if we were to say, look, here's your pot of money, we're going to commit, you know, X percent of this money to these types of projects because it leads to jobs, it leads to infrastructure needs. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not, but you know, is that some way that we want to look at it based on our general overall priorities in terms of where we spend money to create infrastructure for jobs or supportive infrastructure for jobs and growth.
Okay. Thank you.
Was that a rhetorical question?
Well, that's for further
that's
conversation.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
What I just heard in response to Councilor Stewart's question, when do we deviate from the system? And this would be a possible consideration when it involves economic development and creation of jobs.
And I would hope that on that last one, greatest need and ability, that's where I think we need to have a conversation. So we look at these projects and the need is twice as great as the resources of, okay, how do we rank and what do we do when we balance economic development with also recognizing that livability is a key part of that. And so, yes, companies need roads and infrastructure, but they also want to have highly livable communities for their employees to come and enjoy. So it's how do we spread the peanut butter around as evenly as possible and make it touch on economic development, livability, improving all areas of the county as well.
But one of my points is this. If council, through our prerogative, asks for a project to go ahead of other projects, the kind of implications that are important for us to know are a project that was ahead of it that was also based on getting jobs and getting economic development and so on. And then have people relied on their placeholder, have developments relied on their placeholder, and you know, how does that work? So,
yeah, and I think the criteria, the way it's set up now, tries to factor all those things in, you know, and so that you're seeing kind of what those generally in those categories, what the priorities would be. You know, one, I guess one option would be is maybe there's certain areas that we're seeing a little more development, and maybe those are the areas we focus in on some alternate type of funding mechanism, whatever that might be. You know, the Fifth Plain Creek, we've talked about increased traffic impact fees. Maybe there's a transportation benefit district. We start looking at that in these important areas. And that's another option as well, is sticking with the priorities that you have and looking at funding some of these other ones in a different way.
Yeah. So our main ranking is safety at 33% and economic development at 29% and then mobility at 24%. Then we take in environmental as about 14%. And then also projects do receive additional points for partnerships. So say for 4th Plain 182nd, WSDOT came in with some money for half the project. That would receive additional points. We include all the accidents for the state route. I mean, that can improve the ranking here. But the only thing that that project really has going for it is capacity. It doesn't consider all the other all the other criteria within that project. So, and most of our, or all of our ranking criteria are consistent with your adopted plans. And so we do, that is something that we do in the program. It has to be that way,
yeah.
in my opinion. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, right.